This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hari ini genap setahun Kerajaan Perikatan Nasional dibentuk. Sepanjang tempoh setahun yang lalu, kita dihadapkan dengan satu krisis besar yang mengancam nyawa rakyat, iaitu pandemik COVID-19. It is a health crisis at a global scale which was unprecedented. Penularan wabak COVID-19 telah mengakibatkan bukan saja krisis...
That was Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin addressing the nation on the 1st of March 2021 to commemorate his first year as Prime Minister of Malaysia. Now, over this last year, we've watched and sometimes anxiously awaited for many of these televised announcements from the Prime Minister as he sought to calm our nerves about many things like measures to combat COVID-19, stimulus programs, relief packages, and even the emergency declaration by our Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. Now, some say these frequent live televised announcements have helped the Prime Minister just as much as it has the rakyat. The generous FaceTime we've received from the Bersatu President has not only helped assure and instill confidence in the rakyat on the state and stability of the nation, but it's also helped solidify his image as the nation's Prime Minister following a less than ideal start to his time in the Prime Minister's office. So how has PR helped shape the portrait of our current Prime Minister? How has his leadership brand and political image evolved over this last year? And will this be enough come GE15? Well, to talk to us about this, we have on Resource Centre today, Adib Zalkatli from Bauer Group Asia.
My name is Adib Zalkatli. I'm a director at Bauer Group Asia. I work with multinationals, especially American multinationals, in advising them on government affairs and political risks in Malaysia.
Adib, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start off with talking about political branding. Now, do leaders in this part of the world care to even invest in political branding?
Democracy or our democratic political system is essentially a popularity contest. So when it's a popularity contest, I think investment in branding is necessary because I think a big part of winning a popularity contest is having a good brand to sell to the buyers, to the stakeholders, in this case, the voters. So yes, leaders in a democratic system do need to invest heavily, I may say, in political branding.
But most of this kind of happens behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't make public your branding strategy, your marketing strategy, you know, your unique selling points are only known to the buyer, only seen superficially by the buyers, by the voters. So the process of developing the brand, developing your unique selling points, naturally happen behind the scenes, just like any other consumer products.
Hmm. So now I want to get your thoughts on our 8th Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Now, when Tan Sri Muhyiddin rose to assume the top post a year back, he was not, and please correct me if I'm wrong, he was not the most charismatic or vocal leader when compared to his competitors for the post, the Prime Minister's post. And I'm talking about Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim and, of course, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. But his image and brand has evolved over the last year to one that the press now claims the rakyat respects. So based on your observation of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin over the last year, what would you say about his particular brand?
Well, to answer your question, I think we need to look at the context, the political context in early 2020. What did we see back then? We saw uncertainty over leadership of the country. There was a question, you know, Anwar's supporters were asking question every day, when will Mahathir step down? And if you remember, Prime Minister Mahathir and his supporters were saying, after APEC in November, then he will step down, you know. But it doesn't say how long after APEC. So it was a question that was raised every day. So that was the context. And you're right that Prime Minister Muhyiddin back then was not seen as... in the running to be a credible replacement to the prime minister's position, because I mean, he was number two in his party Bersatu, and the ruling coalition is made up of four parties. So he was the number two in one of the four parties. So naturally, he's not seen as a front runner compared to Anwar, who was already named as the successor to Prime Minister Mahathir. Yeah, so that was the context of early 2020. So when he came to power, sworn in as a prime minister, he's seen as the stabilizing figure, you know, somebody who put an end to the question of how long more Mahathir will stay on as the prime minister, or when will Anwar take over as the prime minister. So he put an end to that question. So initially, yes, I think those who did not like the discourse, those who did not enjoy the seeing this question of leadership transition being discussed every day, were probably receptive to having a Muhyiddin as a prime minister with, you know, support arguably from both sides of the house, because he also won over MPs from the opposition, from BN, UMNO, and also from GPS in Sarawak.
So besides the stability factor, any other values that you would associate with his brand?
Well, of course, there are two sides of the coin. I mean, those who were happy to see the end of the discussion on transition from Mahathir to Anwar, you know, were very receptive to his leadership. But on the other side, there are those Pakatan Harapan supporters, specifically supporters of opposition leader Datuk Sri Anwar, and supporters of DAP, who believe that the swearing in of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin was a reversal of the 2018 election results, because they believe that it was Pakatan Harapan that was voted in 2018 and not other coalition, especially this coalition that led by Prime Minister Muhyiddin.
Now, the terms backdoor government and backdoor PM were thrown about a lot this time last year. Now, how much has Langkah Sheraton shaped Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's political brand? And are there any other negative values that have been associated with this incident?
Yes, I think what happened was definitely unprecedented. I think we've never seen realignment of federal political coalition, where MPs split from their parted ways, from their pre-electoral arrangement to form a new post-election coalition. It was unprecedented. Prime Minister Muhyiddin will always be remembered for that, because he was the first to become Prime Minister this way. Naturally, it will be part of his legacy.
Now, what role did his constant televised announcements and speeches play in creating, selling, and maybe solidifying his brand to the rakyat?
Well, his televised announcements, initially, it was welcomed, I think, largely by the public, and partly because, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Malaysia, or the world rather, was facing a pandemic for the first time, you know, in recent history. Malaysia was under lockdown. The MCO was introduced just, I think, 2 weeks, about 2 to 3 weeks after he was sworn in. So I think there was a need for the country then to have a strong leader who, you know, reassure the people that Malaysia will get out of its, you know, darkest days, if you like. And yeah, so it was very reassuring, I think, for a lot of people who were worried about the uncertainty caused by the MCO. And at the same time, it also ended any concern that people may have that Malaysia was being led by lame duck prime minister, you know, his predecessor Mahathir, because at that time people were already questioning, like, when will Mahathir step down. So yes, initially it was good. It was a good move to have a regular televised address. It was very reassuring for the public who may be concerned about the first lockdown, as well as the those who were not happy with the discussion about transition from Mahathir to Anwar. But like any political campaign tools, you can't use it too much. You know, there's a limit of how long a certain political communication tool can be used. And unfortunately, after a year, especially because I think sometime in July last year, we've recovered from COVID-19, right? I mean, in a way, Malaysia managed to lower significantly the infection rate. I think just like any sophisticated electorates, same here in Malaysia, I think people started to ask for more than just televised address. I think they were expecting a different communication approach. I mean, that's just natural. I mean, you can't use the same messaging, the same approach, especially in this social media era where, 1 year is a very long time to be relying on just one political communication tool.
Right, we're going to take a short break now for some messages. But when we come back, we discuss unity, we discuss loyalty, and we discuss the values that attract a Malaysian voter. All that and more coming up on Resource Center. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Bribe-free Malaysia? BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Resource Centre. My name is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now, I have Adib Zalkapli, Director of Bauer Group Asia. And we've been discussing the PR portrait of the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Now, Adib, how does Tan Sri Muhyiddin's brand compare to the political image or brands of some of the other leaders that have led our country, like Datuk Sri Najib Razak or even Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad?
Well, they all three had different challenges, and they were all operating in totally different political environment. Datuk Sri Najib Razak, when he became Prime Minister, I think he was trying to project the return of a strong leadership, you know, because of questions about the weaknesses or inability of his predecessor to control the party discipline, and the fact that his party lost 2/3 majority for the first time in 2008, you know, just about 1 year before Najib took over. So Najib was projecting a strong, decisive leadership in his first term. Of course, in the second term, because after 2013, because his party UMNO may improve, but Barisan Nasional as a whole didn't improve electorally. So I think he had to take a very different approach. You know, he had, as you know, a lot of challenges from GST, from 1MDB. So I think in his second term, I think he was struggling to position his unique selling point to the people, you know, after he exhausted all the shore up the image of a strong leadership in his first term, which didn't quite work. And Mahathir's branding post 2018 was largely a response to what Najib failed to do in his second term, in his last term, you know. So Mahathir projected himself as someone who's more consultative, you know, someone who's more democratic, ironically, because of his...
compared to when he was the 4th Prime Minister.
Exactly. And he was a leader of a new coalition, the first coalition to unseat Barisan Nasional. So yeah, but then, questions were asked after 1 year, partly because the coalition put himself in a difficult position as a temporary prime minister, you know. So he had difficulties in projecting his brand just not too long after the general election. So they all had different challenges.
Is there an ideal brand representation to be a successful leader in Malaysia? Like, should you be like Disney, or are people accepting of a more flawed but transparent brand?
Well, I think by now it's obvious that Malaysia is not homogenous. We have a very diverse electorates, you know, very diverse political views, and the political parties, you can see, have a very mixture of ideologies, you know, from those who are pro-religious values, those who are into a more liberal approach to governing. I guess what would work is to hold the center and not to be attracted too far to the left or too far to the right. You know, like in any, I think that from the experience of other more mature, similar parliamentary democracies, I think it's very important to make sure the center holds and not to be tempted by ideologues on both sides of the extreme.
What about loyalty? Is that a strong, virtuous value that Malaysians expect of their leaders?
Well, loyalty, I think it's referring to betrayal to certain ideals. I think, yes, I think certain voters would look at leaders who stay strong to their party ideals. But I think generally people can accept the fact that politics is very fluid. One good example is pre-2018 when we saw Anwar Ibrahim with his party and DAP working together with Mahathir to unseat Prime Minister Najib Razak. So it's fluid. So yeah, there's no, I don't know, you can argue there's no permanent ideology, no permanent political ideals that a politician is expected to be attached to.
But are there specific values that attract a Malaysian voter? I know demographics play a major role here, but maybe you can talk to us about what attracts or has the tendency to influence voters, maybe in rural areas or the urbanites among us. Are there specific values that tends to influence voters in Malaysia?
Well, generally speaking, I think voters in Malaysia still look at their elected representatives as community organizer or people who organize, who act to solve problems at a constituency level. Not so much a big picture national policy public policy person. So someone who's seen to work the ground, someone who's seen to interact directly with voters, address constituency level problems rather than big national issues. National issues work in a certain way, but to win votes, it's all about service at the grassroots level.
Hmm. Now, this might be a bit dicey, but I'm just curious about your thoughts. Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin founded the Malay-only Bersatu Party, you know, together with Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. And according to press coverage of, I think it was a One Malaysia event some 10 years ago, where Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin publicly declared that he was Malay first, Malaysian second. How has he made his personal beliefs and comments like this from years ago congruent in the minds of Malaysians with his claims now that he is a prime minister for all Malaysians?
Well, I think it's important to look at his Malay first comment in the right context, right? He was the number two in UMNO at that time, with UMNO president as the prime minister. Obviously, the prime minister cannot be seen to favor a certain race too much, you know. But that is the party's ideology. So somebody else had to play the role of the party ideologue. So in UMNO, naturally that responsibility will fall into the lap of the number two, who is not the prime minister, because as the number two, as the deputy prime minister, is probably judged in a different way than the prime minister. But then again, political reality in Malaysia, once you, whether you are an all-Malay party or a Chinese-dominated party, because of the demographics, because of our parliamentary system, I think it forces everyone, every party, regardless of their ideological belief, to work together to form a government, you know, to make compromises, you know, to maybe, you know, tone down their certain ideological demands. So that's only natural in politics.
Are there tools to kind of reinforce or to sell the concept of unity for those in a leadership position like this? Are there any tools that you can use to sell the concept of unity?
Yes, I think we Malaysia has that powerful tool to force unity, and it's called our parliamentary democracy system. Yeah, where individual MPs are forced to work together, either to form the government or to form the opposition bench. So this, I think, it's not perfect, but this is what we have now to force unity. So in this case, political parties that is like too extreme, too far to the right or too far to the left, will never win power. You know, only those who are willing to move closer to the center will remain in power.
Right, Adib, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Before I let you go, just one final one. Now, looking forward to GE15, is Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's brand strong enough for the next elections? You know, what part of his brand will need to be reinforced or strengthened ahead of the polls? And what will he want to shed ahead of the rakyat heading to GE15?
Well, as the incumbent prime minister, his position itself is a very strong brand. But we saw in 2018 how a prime minister could be removed through an electoral process by a relatively young coalition. So you can say the prime minister's brand is only as good as his opponent's weaknesses. So as long as the opposition leader has or the opposition front as a whole does not regroup and try to offer a stronger alternative, I think the incumbency will help a lot, but it can only help to a certain extent. But he also has another challenge because his coalition is young, barely 1 year old. So he has to strengthen that coalition. If he's strengthened his position as leader of that coalition, a coalition of parties, to be a credible brand at the next general election.
Right. Adib, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Adib Zulkifli, Director of Bauer Group Asia. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, within the hour. You can also catch up on our podcast on the BFM app, on iTunes, on Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcast fix. Just search for Resource Center. I'll be back again same time next week with more. But till then, this is Audrey Raj signing off for Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.